Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It will be okay. Well, is that what we really believe? Do we really believe that it'll be okay when bad news, international news, news of failing peace, when news in the community hits us? What does it do? What does that news do to us? We've asked the expert, Dr. Dori Wheel, clinical and organizational psychologist. Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
Hello, Howard. Really nice to be with you. How am I doing? I'm reeling a bit. There's been just the most devastating news in the community. And it has had a massive effect. I think everybody knows what we're talking about everywhere. And I mean, it's incredible to see what that's done. I mean, first of all, nothing has brought a community closer than a shared emotional event, especially when there's something that transcends words. You know, words like tragedy and devastation and so on are used with great meaning, but when it comes to something just as, sudden and as surreal and as deep as this.
Yeah, and would and just for anybody who isn't aware, what Dori's talking about is the tragic loss of a young woman in our community just a few months, very short few months, maybe even 10 or 11 weeks after the loss of her husband, leaving unfortunately two young children. Both parents seemed healthy and well until the passing. And we seem to be just getting some of this news. It comes and it unnerves us as parents, as youngsters, and as community members. How do we deal with it? What type of response is appropriate at a time like this?
Yeah, look, first of all, what I was saying, and I just don't want to lose that point, that it connects people more. A shared emotional event is connecting. So when you look into the eyes of other people in the community, you're connecting on a feeling level. You just know. You look in that, you know that you're feeling the same as them, and that is connecting. It was something that was quite amazing on a number of the gatherings. I know the community quite well, Howard, and there were people who had been estranged or were between acrimony and so on. And I saw a father put his hand on his son's shoulder. Well, he hasn't spoken to that son for some time.
Wow.
And an estranged couple, you know, who just looked at each other as if to say, you know what, we must cut all of this because this is the kind of thing that's really
important.
This matters. You know, this really matters. Not to say that your issues at the time don't matter. Of course they do. But there's a connection through a depth of feeling that transcends words. How do you get over it, or what do you do? You sometimes hear things that are, in my opinion, kind of on extremes of a dichotomy. Some people say doing remarkably well. And I think by remarkably well, unfortunately, means controlled and sort of fairly being able to keep yourself together and, you know, just getting on with it and coping after tragedy in that way. And I would rather say, instead of remarkably well, can we say remarkably real, please? Because in the face of these kind of things, you have an expectation that grief is the price you pay for love. Every tear that you cry is going to be a testimony, huge testimony, to the depth of the relationship. You know, you only have one mom, only one. And after, when you lose her, the expectation of being a member of the human race is that there are days that are devastating. There are days that there is an outward expression of grief, not only with the kids, of course, but with everybody. And I think that in our community, we need to give more permission for that being a normal reaction to a very traumatic situation. So remarkably real means that you don't feel positive all the time. You're unable to fill the void all of the time. And the recognition that the only way out is in first. It's not using your energy to come across in that kind of way, because that's what strength is called. So I think that's the first thing to say. You get through it with a great deal of the support that is already pouring out. Support is healing. That's scientific. We know about the healing power of support. There'd be much that's written about people who have support in their lives actually get better more quickly and don't get sick as often. And the chief rabbi and something in, you know, in relation to this spoke about the holding the support from Hashem.
Mm.
You know, if that's the depth of your belief, that he will, I mean, just in terms of what you were saying, this and many other things, I think there's a difference between positivity and optimism. You know, positivity sometimes is just think positive, it will be okay, or it is okay, rather. You know, look on this, at least, when it starts with at least you have this, at least you have, you know, enough. So sometimes positivity is difficult. Might lead to denial, and then you think to yourself, why don't I feel, like in the pandemic, I mean, I would listen every Sunday to you on your thing, and, you know, hearing in the beginning that, you know, stay positive at the end of every email, there are dolphins in the canals of Venice, and the stars up here. That's positivity. Optimism means that you do believe somewhere that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Not necessarily the last of an oncoming train.
Absolutely.
It's about hope, and it's about seeing something that is better than what you're feeling now at the end of some sort of process. And I think that is real positivity, really.
And the other thought that I had around it, and I wrote in the Jewish Report this week, is this feeling when we have these terrible tragedies, and as horrible as it is, the fact is that we give a damn, and that is something to me that is of such value, that you and I can be having this conversation about a tragedy that has taken place. I didn't know them, but yet I'm overwhelmed by the sadness that I feel for, particularly for the children left behind. That's got to be a good thing, that people in our community do feel for each other.
Look, that's what I'm saying, you know, that coming together in sadness, you're coming together on a heart-to-heart level. You're coming together on a feeling level, that we don't have the words in our vocabulary. And yet you say, you know, you and I happen to know them very well, the mom, the granny, the very, very close friend of mine. But I see what you're saying, that it's not only that. Why is it? First, you think to yourself, how would it be if it was me?
Absolutely, yeah.
People are projecting themselves into it, as you do. And so you think, OMG, you know. And you begin, some people have in their minds, they get catastrophized. You know, gosh, what if this, what if that? I spoke to someone yesterday, she said, Dory, please, if ever, this is, you know, like really taking themselves into
that situation.
And identify, you know, and care. And we are a caring community. Our community is renowned for support, I think, not only on a behavioral level, which is amazing, just showing up with food, showing up with immense care. And I think that is, that care is contagious, just like in relation to so many things. I mean, the anxiety that people feel, the talk in relation to what's happened to the economy, you know, and that kind of the pandemic, which you were so steeped in, you know, I was dealing with it from a mental health point of view.
Course.
So the doctors were so concerned in the beginning about, they said to me, this is going to be different. And I said, what do you mean? They said, it's going to be different. One of them was at 9/11.
Wow.
And they said, different because of uncertainty. We have no idea how long this is going to last, they said. Actually, don't tell anybody, Dory, but we don't really know what we're dealing with.
And
we're
not sure. Absolutely.
And there's uncertainty. We don't know how many. With 9/11, we knew how many. We knew how to treat them. We didn't have to be family. So uncertainty, of which there's so much in the world, is a springboard for anxiety. We feel out of control. We can't deal with the reality. So, you know, uncertainty about, I mean, the war where, you know, in our community we have that statement, never again, never again. How can it happen? And then it's again in a way, not in the same way. But the social media, internet, seeing all of this in real time in our face, not reading about it as we used to back in the day. Do you remember when there were newspapers?
Absolutely.
I mean, there were those things with black and white
writing. Yes, I remember that as well.
You remember those? Well, geez, you're old. You're really old.
Yeah, exactly. When I remember reading the newspaper. Dorrie, we do unfortunately need to leave it there. Absolutely fascinating conversation and one that I would love to continue. Dr. Dorrie Wheel, clinical and organizational psychologist, speaking to us this morning about dealing with negative news, how it destabilizes us, and how best to process it.